Welcome to the Deucecast, and that is the Deucecast. The T-H-E is extremely important. Make sure you put the V in front of it when you find us on the web, and also get us on iTunes because we're big time, baby. We're on iTunes right now. Thank you for joining us on episode 2, Attack of the Podcast, here on the Deucecast. I'm your host, Dave, and this is my co-host, Mikey. Say hey, Mikey.
That's me.
And also joining us is our other co-host, Matt, up in the Nuke. Say hey, Matt.
What's going on?
What's up, guys? And what is the Deucecast, you might be asking yourself right now?
Well, I always ask myself that.
You know, I still ask myself that even after a decade.
I'm asking myself that right now.
Actually, the Deuce, a decade ago, a bunch of us lived in an apartment we called the Deuce. And we had band parties and movie nights and fellowships and so much more. We eventually all moved on to different lives, going our different ways, but we continue to uphold the legacy of the Deuce. And that's what this here podcast is all about. That and anything else we can come up with. A little bit of contact information for you. You can find us on the interweb at www.thedeucecast.com. Find us on Facebook at The Deucecast Studios. Please, please come like us. Come join us at The Deucecast Studios on Facebook and help us get to a million hits, 100 at a time, or 10 at a time.
We're actually almost there.
Yeah, we're getting there. We're getting there. Also, shoot us an email at info@thedeucecast.com and find us on Twitter at The Deucecast. And now we've got a phone number, 205-626-9386, or as Mikey likes to say, 6269-FUN. That's our phone number.
Fun.
And of course, download the show on iTunes, subscribe on iTunes. Holy crap, we are
review
on
review us. Please
iTunes.
Review us.
Yes, we'd love to review
us. That's preferably. Actually the most important thing. Review us on iTunes. Please do. Please
subscribe
review us.
Subscribe and review or
yes.
Yeah, on iTunes.
Please
rate us
do.
With stars. 5.
I don't know. Yeah, 5 stars. All 5 stars.
And what would be great is after you download us and subscribe to us, shoot us an email or give us a call or Facebook us or Twitter or whatever you want to do, but let us know so that way we know you're out there listening. And don't
create
be afraid.
A fan club.
And don't be afraid to let us know how awesome we are.
If you do start a fan club, please take your picture and put it all over Facebook with the Deucecast logo behind you.
That would be fantastic.
Which is available on iTunes.
Absolutely. We've got a lot going on in this week's show, so we're going to get to it in just a minute. But we also want to introduce our special guest in the Deucecast studios. That's going to be Rhett. Say hey, Rhett.
Gentlemen, good to be here. Good evening.
And Rhett, may I say, you look quite fetching in purple.
Look, I love a purple shirt. I love a purple shirt.
You look
shirt.
Good, man.
Well, thanks.
I mean, that you're just more masculine by wearing purple.
$20, JCPenney.
That's all it. That matters.
I mean, I would love to tell you that I think Grimace from McDonald's, but actually, Teletubbies comes to mind.
Well, look, that's fine. Hey, I will also rock a pink shirt.
Absolutely.
I'll wear a pink
as you
shirt.
Should,
I got
sir.
No problem with it.
As yeah. you should.
Teletubbies
it's a
again.
Mace Windu quality.
It does. It really
right,
does.
That's what I'm going for. That's what you think when you see me.
All right, we're going to kick off now with our top three coolest of the week. And this is where we kind of let you know the best things of the week and, of course, something uncool in the week, and we'll get to that. But first of all, we're going to send it to Mikey. Mikey, what's your third coolest thing of the week?
Well, as I constantly mention on the podcast, I no longer have cable. I'm just streaming on Netflix and Hulu Plus. And I have come to start watching Sons of Anarchy. It is a marvelous show. FX programming, by far, next to AMC, some of the best just original programming out there. Katie Sagal is amazing on Sons of Anarchy.
Emmy
Matt,
winner
I know,
now.
Yeah, Matt, I know you've watched Sons of Anarchy, right?
Oh, it's maybe my favorite show. Yeah,
sorry,
love it.
Yeah, it's awesome, and I think the lead guy, well, he's one of the lead guys, Charlie Hunnam.
Yeah,
he's pretty amazing. Also, I've never seen that guy in anything, and he just sort of is a presence on the screen.
He's a British actor.
Is he really?
Yeah. He's in some, you know, it's like soccer movies or something like that. But
like
yeah.
football.
Yeah,
football.
That's yeah, for our
no,
Mexican brethren.
Absolutely.
Hola.
Yeah, it's really great, and of course Netflix streaming, you can just watch episode after episode, and it's hard for me not to continue to do that with Sons of Anarchy and stay up all night. It's It's awesome, and Hellboy's in the show, and so that's
Ron Perlman.
Yeah, that's cool in and of itself, right there. So
yeah, the I love the show, just the depth of it, because it really, it's supposed to be like an allegory on like Macbeth. It's incredible depth for a biker gang show.
Hey, what's allegory mean? I don't know. I'm just kidding.
He's the guy who ran for president and lost.
Oh, yeah, you're right, right. He invented the internet, right?
He's into global warming-y.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Allegory.
Okay. Well, hey, Matt, what was your number three?
Well, while I'm eating this Little Debbie chocolate frosted donut, and had no idea you were about to cue me, my number three for the week, one of my favorite all-time TV people, love SNL back in the day. He is my absolute favorite Weekend Update correspondent. It is Norm MacDonald. Norm MacDonald has some new stand-up special coming on. Are you guys still there?
We're here. We're listening.
Yeah, dude. Okay. We're.
Well, I was trying to come up with a Norm MacDonald impression, but I really got nothing.
I got one for you.
He's had like 20 different shows on TV, and they last maybe 4 episodes and get canceled.
Well, he's not back in, I don't think, his own like sitcom or anything like that. As far as I know, all he's doing on a regular basis is like some sort of poker, like a World Series of Poker type thing. But he has a new stand-up special, and it just reminded me how awesome and how much I love Norm MacDonald. Love Dirty Work, love all of his Weekend Update stuff.
Yeah, he was one of the best on Weekend. I'm not going to say the best, but he was one of the best on Weekend Update.
He was solid. Let me tell you, the best, for me, the best Norm MacDonald Weekend Update joke was, he started to be like, hey, yeah, Jews everywhere celebrated Yom Kippur this week, known to non-Jews as Wednesday. That's my favorite.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Kicked off the show, off SNL, for all of his OJ jokes.
Yeah. The other good one was Michael Bolton releasing a Christmas album this week. Happy birthday, Jesus. Hope you like crap.
Yeah, that's my favorite. That's my favorite of all time.
What's wrong with Michael Bolton? All right, well.
I celebrate his entire catalog.
Absolutely. Number three.
Yep.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off there, man.
No, that's it. That's my number three.
Well, my number three, you know, I've mentioned WWE several weeks in a row, and I don't really think I've meant to. It's just been kind of something that's been coming up over and over and over, and I wasn't going to this week, but I was watching WWE this week via DVR, and Edge comes out. He's one of my favorites, and he's been involved for 15, 16 years, and he's the rated R superstar. So he comes out there, and we saw him wrestle Alberto Del Rio at WrestleMania 27 and beat Alberto. He is the world heavyweight champion. Well, he comes out, and I think he's going to rib the audience or rib Alberto or whatever, and he gets in the ring, and he retires for real. So, because apparently about 3 or 4 years ago, he actually broke his neck while wrestling. He was out for over a year. He had spinal fusions and everything.
I thought it wasn't real, though.
No, the retirement was real.
No, I thought wrestling wasn't real.
Oh, no, the moves are real.
Okay. I was just checking.
It's sports entertainment. It's scripted. But yeah, basically the doctor said that if he wrestled again, he risked paralysis or death. And so basically, he just said, I'm done. So I got to see him in his last match at WrestleMania a couple weeks ago, and I think Edge's career has been phenomenal. So for anybody out there who's a WWE fan, you know, Edge, you will be missed. That's my number three coolest thing of the week.
Was he the one with the blonde locks, the flowing blonde
locks? Yes, the flowing blonde locks,
And he always had a bunch of women around him.
He did.
What was his, nickname?
Well, Rated R Superstar was
his nickname. Right.
And when he was with Randy Orton, it was Rated RKO. That was the name of the tag team.
Right.
And he has held more championships in the WWE than anybody else in history. So salute to you, Edge. Good job, and hopefully you will stay safe.
Godspeed.
Absolutely. Your number two coolest thing of the week.
So let me gather myself after Godspeed there.
That's humor on the edge there.
That's awesome. Well, my number two, as you may or may not have gathered, I recently have had a daughter, and we did our baby dedication at Redstone. They call it Baby D. And I just want to give a shout out to Redstone. It's a North Point partner. I want to be specific and say Northport partner there. And I just want to say thanks to Blake for an awesome message that day. And I want to say thanks to Will and Sarah, great music. Jared, Emmy, Tony, always awesome as well. I promised all those guys I'd give them a shout out on the podcast. So if you're listening, you have been shouted out. Matt, number two.
Number two. All right, this is continuing a similar theme. as Michael said before, I am also in a streaming-only television environment. Our house
It's a brave new world out there, isn't it, Matt?
No active cable.
I have Dish Network, and I'm not giving it up for anything.
So what we've done is we've discovered some new shows that we didn't really watch previously. One of those that really surprised us in the last couple of days, Late Night with Jimmy Fallon.
Never
watched it very much, but it is really funny.
He's good
and
stuff.
And their band is awesome.
Oh, The Roots is fantastic.
Yeah,
The Roots are awesome.
They're the best band. I mean, I love Conan's band, but The Roots are great. His segments are great. He's multi-talented, so a lot of the things work into his impersonations and stuff. He has great guest interaction. So that's my number two.
Well, the problem is for Jimmy, it comes on at like 2:47 in the morning.
If you had Hulu, you could watch it anytime you want
sir.
It's not as late as Carson Daly, but I don't know of anybody that actually has ever watched a full episode.
Careful what you say about my Carson.
Yeah, isn't his show called The Late, Late, Early, Early Show or something? Because it comes on
I think
on
it's just called The Worst Show Ever. I actually had a dream one night that that I met Carson Daly, and he was like asking me for pointers because his show was so bad.
He heard the podcast.
I watched the show, and I was like giving him points. Like, okay, you need to have jokes that are funny and not ones that are terrible.
I liked Carson Daly better when he was on TRL.
TRL was solid.
Like the black fingernail polish and stuff like that.
Well, he was a little bit chubby, so he was endearing. He's waifish now.
I liked how TRL would show like 10 seconds of a video and then have all the scrolling text on the bottom and people are shouting out to each other and they're like, here's the new video from Mariah Carey. And you see like 15 seconds of it and then you see all the screaming fans out. It was great.
That's more video than you get now.
That's true.
Yeah, I was most concerned that the people on TRL might be also voters.
They don't know how to write. Most of them are
ladies and gentlemen, President Barack Obama.
Yeah. Well, most of them obviously they were voters.
Exactly.
Number two, and this will be short and sweet because I don't have much to say about it. Well, I could talk about it forever, but I'm not going to go ramble on about it. But number two, The Incredibles was released on Blu-ray this week.
Oh, yes.
It is my favorite Pixar movie. It is my 31st favorite film of all time across all genres. Disney finally released this movie on Blu-ray, and I am so pumped, and I cannot wait to sit down on my HD TV and watch this, soak it all in. Syndrome, one of my favorite villains. I love the whole tongue-in-cheek humor that's in there. How you catch me monologuing, and Frozone, he's one of my favorite characters to meet down there.
Samuel L. Jackson.
You tell me where my super suit is, woman!
Where's my super suit?
Where is my super suit?
Watched it yesterday, bought it. Best Buy yesterday, bought three or four disc
exactly.
edition.
Extravaganza.
It on Blu-ray. Look, Pixar, because they work in that digital medium, are so well suited for Blu-ray.
They're immaculate. Perfect.
It's a beautiful, beautiful transfer. The art style is a unique art style for that movie. It's almost a
retro
spy novel very beautiful. It's a great transfer.
Usually don't have an art style.
Well, you know what I mean.
I'm hoping this actually transfers over to the DVD or to the Blu-ray as well. But I know on the DVD, and I don't normally watch a lot of extras on DVDs and Blu-rays, but there is an extra on the Incredibles DVD. If you think back to the old, like the Japanimation kind of Saturday morning shows where they had the cartoon, but they had the real live mouth talking through the cartoon or whatever, they actually have one of those with Frozone and Mr. Incredible.
It's awesome.
And those characters are commentating on this cartoon, and it's fantastic. And I'm hoping that transfers over to the Blu-ray because it was great.
And I have not looked at the bonus features yet.
I'm pretty sure
everything's on there.
Well, there's a whole disc. I mean, you've got the Blu-ray and then second disc.
Plus a digital copy, plus a DVD.
Exactly.
I think you get a laser disc too. Right?
I think so, and I think they actually come to your house to perform it. The Pixar Players or something. So, and of course, we like to talk about things that are uncool as well. To kind of rant a little bit, get it off our chest. Michael, what's uncool this week?
You know, Dave, what's really uncool to me is all this Nick Cage hate. I'm really tired of it. I'm being serious. You listen up. Nick Cage is a master thespian. I think he has everyone fooled. I think that the critics and viewers alike don't understand the depth and intellect of this man. I think that anything that he has done this decade is excellent.
I've seen The Sorcerer's Apprentice. I know how he hones his craft.
He is superb, especially when he has a fake wig.
Absolutely, which is all the time.
Fake wig, that's not right. wig.
It's a fake wig.
Fake toupee.
Yeah.
And so Nick Cage hate, I'm really over it. Anyone that hates on Nick Cage, well, I'm going to keep it clean. Just go watch something else that you might understand, like perhaps Married with Children or something.
Nick Cage is fantastic.
How do you feel about Knowing, the movie?
I think that's brilliant.
I mean, I didn't loathe it as much as I expected to.
I went into it.
Nick Cage was underplayed it a little bit.
He's excellent.
He was good in that.
I went into it with low expectations, and until about the last hour and a half to hour and 45 minutes of the movie, I was right, you know. Beyond that, it was okay. The ending was kind of.
I know what they were going for, but it was interesting.
Yeah.
But I'm sure we're interested anyway.
And I appreciated that Nick Cage was not Nick Cage in it. He played it down a little bit.
And as much as I dislike Oliver Stone, watch his performance in World Trade Center.
Oh, that's a great
Seriously.
Movie. Seriously. That is a great
movie.
He's
phenomenal in that.
Great
accent.
I mean, he's got, six movies, I think, on my 300 favorite films. He owns like two or three movies in my top 100.
As he should.
He's a great actor. Great actor. Rhett, you got something uncool for us? Anything?
No, not really uncool. I'm going to get into the uncool here in a little bit. Let me tell you one thing uncool happened to me yesterday. I paid $4.06 for a gallon of gas.
Where?
Only 406?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, well, you must be
Chevron.
Like...
I'm a 93 octane
guy. Do you have an SUV or something?
No. It's an 11-year-old Lexus, but
I see.
That's not the point. Hey,
Lexus.
Well, I married into it. Do I still blame Bush for that? Somebody fill me in on that. I've got to find someone to blame, and I
blame Carter.
Carter's a good one. Or how about we've got 2/3 of the oil leases in this country are sitting they're not given out right now. They're inactive. We're letting every country in the Western Hemisphere drill in the Gulf of Mexico, except for the United States. Gas is taxed like crazy. I don't know if you've seen that or not.
Yes.
I'm
a little bitter about this, okay?
Well, as you should be.
George Bush had nothing to do with the gas prices. He was too busy causing tsunamis in Japan.
Oh, that's right.
Exactly.
And the hurricane. Hurricane machine.
Yeah. He hates white people.
Yes. You're right. That's right.
And the foul-ups on this podcast, like little sound bites here and there, that's Bush's fault, too. So.
Exactly.
But look, I need someone to blame for that. I'm looking for scapegoats. Somebody please
actually,
tell me.
I think that you need to blame the Eskimos because that's the only reason we don't drill in Alaska.
No, it's the caribou. The Eskimos would love it. They would love it. They like
the
tax revenue.
Guys, you guys are missing the point here. It's Toad the Wet Sprocket.
You're right. It is.
That's it.
Glenn Phillips, you are to blame.
No, I had something
they are
cool,
a menace.
But that now is nigh uncool thing for the week just because Matt said that. All this toad hate. What the crap?
All right, Matt, what's your uncool thing?
Okay. Saturday night, I'm of course, actually it wasn't Saturday night. It was actually Sunday afternoon. But anyway, Saturday Night Live comes on Saturday nights, really late, right? And I love the concept of what Saturday Night Live is. It's the only show where you can, like, totally be terrible and have terrible ideas, but just try them out and let them just fail. You know what I mean?
We do that here.
Yeah, well, yes. This show is the second. but anyway, we were watching on Hulu, Hulu Plus, of course, watching the last episode hosted by Helen Mirren, and they did a Fox News spoof.
That was horrible.
It was on Fox and Friends.
Yeah.
And my uncool thing is when SNL tries to spoof something that they hate, because it's never funny. Like, they don't even try to learn about the people on it. They just speak to stereotypes.
Yeah.
And the only thing I've ever seen that was somewhat funny was they did a Bill O'Reilly one where they actually, you could tell that they had actually watched it, you know, and could do some impersonations of him and his personality. But otherwise, it's pointless when you don't actually take the time to learn about the people that you're imitating.
You're right.
And so that is my uncool thing. It was terrible.
You know, I think Sudeikis does a fairly good Glenn Beck with the tears and the chalkboard.
But I'll
tell you, one of the best political parodies they have done in recent years is Ben Affleck was Keith Olbermann, and he had it down pat, and you could tell it was because they know that show very well.
Oh yeah, and Rachel Maddow, they do.
Oh yeah, they do.
Oh yeah,
right.
yeah, yeah,
yeah,
yeah, they do.
You're right.
Rachel Maddow, yeah.
But yeah, I totally agree.
Well, and you're saying that it's basically they jump on all the stereotypes for humor, and in essence, they themselves become the stereotype of what we think they are. If
exactly.
That makes any sense.
Yeah.
They don't learn it. They don't try to find anything out about it. They just use what they're assuming about it.
Yep.
All right. So here's uncool for me. All right. So I'm at work a couple of days ago, and I get an email from my brother-in-law Tyler that says, "Hey man, there's a weird thing on your Facebook page there, and it shows some link to a video that says." Dad walks in on daughter. Embarrassing. Now, I don't get onto Facebook very much when I'm at work because my manager, Melanie, who's she doesn't really care for that very much, getting on Facebook while you're being paid. So
right.
I don't do it. So I asked him to leave a note on my page that says, hey, people don't click on this. And, you know, he told me that he did or whatever. And he said that there was a few other people that had the same exact link on their page as well, including a deacon in our church. Which, you know, made me think, well, maybe it's not just me then. Good. So I did take a quick break while I was at work, and I logged on to see it, and I deleted it. And I had to change my password and spend my entire 15 minutes break, you know, flipping through on my phone, trying to get it unlocked and whatever, whatever, and whatever. My cool thing is Facebook hackers. I mean, really, why? What's your point? I know you want people to click on these links, but, you know, there's so much stuff out there that if you really wanted to, you could get it a lot easier. Facebook hackers, just uncool.
That reminds me of
it's terrible.
Of the movie Hackers from 1995, I believe. Johnny Lee Miller was the star.
Johnny Lee Miller and Hackers.
Yeah, come on.
I'm trying to remember that one.
That was a great
movie. Was Angelina Jolie in that?
Yes,
that,
she was.
Are you
she
sure? Was. Or was that Sneakers?
No, it was definitely Hackers. It was Angelina Jolie.
Sneakers was
Johnny
Robert
Lee
Redford,
Miller,
right?
And it was essentially because the whole hacking thing was becoming popular. And so, of course, they had to make a movie about it. And
but it was actually about hacky sacking, wasn't it?
No.
Actually, it was about wheat farmers with their sickles.
But, yeah, that movie, you actually need to watch that because it's Angelina Jolie. One, I think it's one of her very...
1995. Right. Angelina Jolie, Johnny Lee Miller, Jesse Bradford, Matthew Lillard.
Yes.
Lorraine Bracco, Penn Jillette was in this. Felicity Huffman as prosecuting attorney number one.
Really?
Yeah, I'm just flipping through here, seeing anybody that I might.
That's hilarious.
To
you need to, if you haven't seen that movie, you should just look it up for the camp factor. It's sort of like Johnny Mnemonic.
And you know, Mickey Rourke is not in it, but Mick O'Rourke plays phone repairman. So I guess he lost the lawsuit for that name.
No, he was overlooked by the Academy. I don't know.
He
if you
really
remember
was.
That role, but
he might have won a Razzie that year. I don't know.
Exactly. All right, so Mikey, what's your coolest thing of the week?
Well, it's got to be Nick Cage. Nick Cage is the coolest human being on the face of the earth. I know we're going to talk about a specific movie later on in the podcast, so I don't want to ruin that. But I just want to say that Nick Cage is one of the finest actors of our time. And if you say otherwise, then you're a loser.
You know, in all seriousness, I will go along with that. He is a generational actor for our generation. I mean,
yes.
He really is. He's
our
a,
times.
You know, and he doesn't.
My time.
And of course, the old joke is that he got his Oscar with Leaving Las Vegas, and then he said, "Hey, I'm getting paid," which is kind of what he's done.
So,
and I'm sure he's and that's it though. So, I mean,
exactly.
he's enjoying himself.
I do the same thing.
And obviously, he's bankrupt like 16 times over, so he's probably trying to make any kind of money he can.
Yeah.
But I think he's making some movies that he is enjoying making, which is kind of cool.
I mean, why wouldn't you enjoy making Bangkok Dangerous?
Well, I didn't enjoy watching it, I can tell you that.
Now, let me get this straight.
Sort of like this podcast.
You say Nick Cage is one of the finest actors alive?
Of our time. My generation.
This generation.
This generation.
Alive.
Generation Y or X
right,
or whatever.
All right, I'm going to let that sink in for a little while.
just let that percolate.
Okay, well, okay, example. All right, and this is not to go on too long about Nick Cage. Let's take a movie like Gone in 60 Seconds.
Yeah.
It's an over-the-top movie. It's a remake. Over-the-top movie. It's a little silly. I mean, boosting all those cars in one night. I enjoy the crap out of that movie.
I love watching that movie.
And Nick Cage as Memphis Reigns, one of the best names ever.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Con Air. Don't even start with Con Air.
Oh,
I could talk
Con
Air for an hour and a half. It's great.
The hair alone is worth a conversation.
Why didn't you put the bunny back in the box? And I almost expected him to say that today when I was watching Drive Angry, which we'll get to.
Well, I mean, I get the Nick Cage love a little bit. But
right.
I don't want to. Let's don't overstate his acting, though. I mean, Nick Cage is kind of...
Have you seen Bad Lieutenant?
I've not seen.
No, I've never said he's a good actor.
No,
I just
I'm
said his movies.
Well,
are
see,
good.
That's
I'm what
saying
I think.
He's
I get
a good
sense
actor.
That Mike thinks he's a good.
There's
actor.
A disconnect.
Like,
I believe. I don't think he's a good. I believe down to my core that he is a good actor.
I think when he tries, I think Bad Lieutenant was a great film, and I think he. I think he gave a great performance.
Yeah, he needs to make. He has to make a conscious choice though to underact. I mean, his tendency is to. Overdo
but
it
for every World Trade Center or every Bad Lieutenant Port of Call, you get five Season of the Witches, and that's the
problem. Just think of it this way: you got to think of it from what's going on inside his head, inside his heart, inside his soul. What he puts on the screen is exactly what he wants on
there,
and that's good actor.
Exactly.
There you go. Yeah.
Amen to that,
well,
brother.
I'll go with that. Hey, Matt, what's your coolest thing of the entire week?
All right, guys, my coolest thing of the week, and I listen to a lot of podcasts, and Michael might have mentioned this one before, but I've got to mention it. The Force Cast is awesome.
Oh, it's excellent.
Man, last week they did an entire April Fool's cast about the holiday special Blu-ray, and it was just like a spoof. Like, they all knew it was fake the whole time. They're coming up with all these really hilarious comments, trying to act
serious.
This week's was great. I mean, they are, it's a professionally made podcast. They are hardcore fans. They're super enthusiastic, and they love what they do, and I love listening to that. And they love Star Wars. I love Star Wars. The Force Cast rules.
Yeah, it really can, you know, by how they act, you can tell that they love Star Wars. It's not just an act, in other words. It's not like
they're Nick Cage.
And they're not like these Star Wars fans out there, one of them sitting next to me, that separates the prequels from the original trilogy. Oh. I'm not going to let him say anything about that. But
just disconnect his mic.
I just want to make sure that you guys understand that our guest in studio, Rhett, is the one that on his own Facebook page said something to the effect of, you know, I watched Star Wars and... it's a pretty bad movie.
It's not as good as you remember. I'm sorry. It's not.
It doesn't hold up.
It does not hold up.
I do believe that we were.
I'm talking about A New Hope.
Yeah.
It's a little plotting. Okay.
I think we do romanticize how good that movie actually is. Just like Transformers, the movie.
No. Well, that's a fantastic movie.
I love Transformers.
Yeah. Empire Strikes Back is a solid film.
That's because of Kirsch.
Yeah. No. Yes. I mean, Lucas, you know, didn't quite get his way with that. Made it much better. But A New Hope is not what we want it to be, I'm afraid.
I prefer just to think of it as Star Wars before they added A New Hope to the title.
Well, and it was better then, frankly, because it did not have quite so much fluff in it.
Right.
There's a lot of CGI fluff.
Guys, if you think about the prequels and A New Hope, you know, Lucas directed all four, mm-hmm. and they really are pretty similar. You know, let's face it. I mean, they're more technology, but you can tell that there's a certain lack of directing quality. Now, I love Star Wars. Take this to think that I don't love Star Wars, but you can see it.
No, I love Star Wars very in a very general sense. I think the films have some real troubles with them.
I am, and the
prequels especially, where Lucas has, he's surrounded by yes men at that point, and there was nobody to pull him back and say.
Well, that's because he paid for everything.
Well, that's his right. But let's don't.
Right.
I mean, but let's just tell it like it is. Just because you don't excuse it by saying, well, he got exactly what he wanted. Well, what he wanted wasn't very good.
There was aspects of all three of the prequels that were brilliant, though.
Oh, look, you
absolutely
give me more Darth Maul. That scene is fantastic.
Yes,
but entirely too short.
I
could use more love.
The rolling down
love
the,
interest.
Yeah,
in the
more
second
more rolling in the meadow
of Naboo. Yeah.
More
I
riding
use a lot more Watto
creatures.
More Watto would be
Watto
good.
Would have been a character they should have expanded on. I wanted to know his backstory.
I think Kitster.
Yeah, Kitster.
I personally like Dexter Jetster myself. I think they should do a Star Wars sitcom set in that diner with Dexter. I think it'd be fantastic. I would watch that every week. So my coolest thing of the week.
Obi-Wan!
We really need to have a Star Wars themed episode only.
Oh, it's coming.
We should go
all day with that.
You know,
no saber dart.
This is going to sound like a shameless self-promotion.
It's beyond the Outer Rim.
That's that whole not worried about the whole length of the show. We're just going to let it go.
Do it. Go. Number one.
This sounds like shameless self-promotion, and I'm sure that it actually is. But for me, the coolest thing this week was getting this podcast up and running not only on iTunes, but putting episode one into play from the time that Michael called me and said, "Hey, man, let's get a podcast." And we got Matt roped in, and we got, you know, Erlen last
roped
week
in is
or
the
a couple weeks ago.
There.
We got Red in here today.
I'm tied up.
We got the podcast. We got equipment. We got, you know, working hard to make it sound right, brainstorming ideas, cutting ideas, disagreeing, divorcing our wives, splitting the cocaine several ways. Handling Mikey's temper because Craigslist list no longer has escort services available.
I know.
But so far out, we've had several people that I've heard that have listened to it and have given good feedback. I mean, they've had a few constructive criticisms here and there, and I slapped them in the face and told them to shut the crap up. But overall, for my coolest of the week, it is episode one, The Podcast Menace, up last week.
Amen.
Now on iTunes. But I will say, if you have not heard episode negative one, I dare say it might actually be a better episode than last week's episode.
It's strong.
I mean, it's
strong.
A strong episode. It
it's
really
more
is.
Popular on iTunes if you go look at it.
I mean, it's better than the Star Wars prequels, I give you. I'll take it.
I would take that.
The best comment
you,
that one of my buddies made to me about it was, "It really sounds good." So I guess we're doing that right.
My father-in-law listened to this podcast, and the only thing he had to say about it last week's show is, "You know that IKEA furniture you mentioned? We put that together. It's not, you lied about that." I'm like, thanks.
Well, you've got to embellish stories to make it sound good for the radio.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So we're going to move into Mikey's Music Minute.
That's right. It's Mike's Music Minute, as I prefer. And we're going to start off here with Foster the People. They've got a self-titled EP. The song you're going to hear is called Pumped Up Kicks. I can tell Rhett hates this song.
I hate most music.
Dude, well, yeah, you do. You like Meatloaf.
It sounds like Welfare Beck.
Oh, that's a good way to put that.
I go to the government line, I get my butter, my cheese, and can I have my Beck? They give me this.
You know,
is
something
it really
that
blank? Because I couldn't hear it.
Something that I've noticed about a lot of the songs that the hipster crowd listens to, and I'm one of them as far as in my music taste, but
and in style.
No, far from in style, but it's all very 80s, like Depeche Mode sounding or Tears for Fears. Even it's
has no point. Like there's literally
right,
no
it's
point
just,
to
it's
listen
just,
to the music.
Exactly. Well, I wouldn't say that. It's all just about having fun.
I will tell you when I hear something as good as Toad the Wet Sprocket.
Oh, yeah, you should. And the next is more of a singer-songwriter type group. It's called Angus and Julia Stone. The album that you can download is Down the Way, and Big Jet Plane is the song that we're going to be listening to.
She drive me crazy. She drive me crazy.
It's a killer track.
Yeah, I don't hate that.
I like this sound.
It's terrible.
Here. It's brilliant. It's subtle.
They seem tired.
She sounds like she's singing with a Kleenex in her mouth.
It sounds like something that you just hear in like an elevator.
Well, she's just laying on the couch.
Never
want
to hear again.
A big jet plane.
And to continue the theme of jet planes, we're going to be listening to The Airborne Toxic Event. They've had one album come out, and they've recently come out with a single called Changed.
That's the name of the band, The Airborne Toxic Event?
The Airborne Toxic Event. Let's listen
ATE
to some Changed.
ATE is what I call them. I actually listened to all these before, you know, we recorded this podcast, and this was my favorite.
Sounds like a modern-day Cure.
Yeah, it actually seems like it has a real melody
and a point.
Sort of a point, yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Like a triumph.
Yeah.
And
the songwriting.
The next band we're going to be listening to is a Swedish band. That would
Abba?
Be
Abba.
Right. Peter
Ace of Base?
Get this.
Dolph Lundgren?
Peter Bjorn and John. You may recognize them from the whistle song. It goes something like... You remember that song. Everybody remembers that
song. I've got
song.
That on my
there you go.
iPod right now.
You do, actually, probably.
I do.
Gimme Some is the new album. Second Chance is the single that's out right now. Straight. You can't got a good hook.
You know that hook they use to pull you off the stage?
Actually, in the one cool thing, you need to check out the video on this. It's very innovative. If they played videos on MTV, you could watch it. But YouTube's the place to go for videos nowadays.
Where does one go for videos?
Yeah,
these
YouTube's
days.
Maybe
the
on MTV 4 at 3 in the morning.
Is there an MTV 4?
There should be.
I think his symbol is like a dog with a head on its butt.
I think that's, yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
MTV Amundo.
Like that.
And the next band, I wanted to focus on this artist because she was actually produced by Peter Bjorn. Her name's Leaky Lee. She's from Sweden as well.
Sounds like a disease.
Exactly. Wounded Rhymes is the album. Get Some is the single.
I like it. Sounds like the Donnas.
I really like this song a lot, but I am partial to chick singers. I don't know.
You're also partial to songs where they mention that they're prostitutes.
Most definitely. Most definitely. Yeah.
I just really hate songs where women singers or whatever girl acts have to stoop to trying to be like overtly sexual. Like, that's the reason why Britney Spears just, well, she was horrible from the beginning.
Like Kesha?
It's terrible. Oh, yeah. Brother. I mean, when they have to be like, I'm your prostitute and stuff like that, it's like, why
well, I agree.
What's wrong with that song?
I don't think that Leaky Lee is anything like any of those singers. So, but
well, they
anyway.
Say that in the song.
That doesn't mean she, whatever. I don't know.
Listen, her name is Leaky Lee.
Judge for yourself. It's awful.
And yeah. The last band is the Dodos, and the album's No Color. You can actually only get this on Amazon. It's an Amazon MP3 exclusive.
Are you sure this band's not called the Doodoos?
No, it's definitely...
that would be awesome.
We'll be the judge of that.
And Sleep. Ironically, Sleep is the name of the song that you're going to be listening to. And this is part of that mountain rock. Like Grizzly Bear... Fleet Foxes, those type of bands.
Yeah, Dave, actually, now that you mention it, there is a certain fecal quality to this.
It is kind of corn-esque.
Yeah, I think there's some nuts in there, too.
No, I get the bear quality. I just want to eat raw salmon while I listen to it.
Exactly. As you should. As you should.
I want to fall a tree while I'm listening to this.
So if you enjoyed any of the music...
I did.
And... I guess these guys don't want anyone to go to the Amazon affiliate links and help us out at all.
No, please do. Yeah, listen for yourself.
Yeah, actually, yeah. Go to our website, thedeucecast.com, and we're going to have these up in the next couple of days. You can link to them, and you can listen to them, and you know, pick up a track or two for 99 cents here and there, or buy the whole album.
Yeah, exactly.
And it actually will help out the Deucecast. It comes to us and try to pay back some of this exorbitant amount of money that we're spending every single month for this bandwidth that we're doing.
And
so,
I've got something to add to that, Dave. Actually, use our website from now on to go to Amazon.
That would be great.
Do the click-through thing. Go to the website. Buy a refrigerator or something. And we actually get part
or
of
a
that.
Hyundai. We'll take it. That'd be awesome.
Anything. There's all things on Amazon. So go to our website first, thedeucecast.com. Click through and buy anything you want on Amazon. You don't have to buy the song.
They have spittoons. You know that?
Of course they do. They have very disgusting things on there as well, but we won't get into that.
Buy the entire box set of Star Wars, so that way Rick can come over and critique it with you.
Look, I'm gonna buy all the DVDs, the Blu-rays when they come out. I mean, I love me some Star Wars.
Well, click through our website to buy them.
I'll do that.
You'll just grimace while
watching them. The problem is George Lucas has us to a point where we will buy anything Star Wars, no matter how crappy it is. If these Christmas, if the Christmas special came on sale for $79.95,
I would be there
at midnight. I would be there at midnight.
We will all go buy it and we will all watch
more.
It.
More B. Arthur for me, please.
And if they come out in 3D, 4D, 5D, I'm buying all of them. Put them all out there.
Speaking of crap. All right, we're going to play a little game now, and we're going to talk about some music. Good musicians and bad musicians, they've made good songs and bad songs. And the glory of the bad songs that have been out there, and there's a lot of bad music out there. Of course, we heard some. And there's, the glory of that is that, you know what, sometimes you just like it, no matter if it's crappy or not. So we're going to play a game called Name That Crap. We're going to play some songs, and you guys have to basically tell me who sings the song or... The name of the song or the artist of the
song.
Right. Everyone you can answer, you get a point. First one to five wins. And
I will win this again, by the way.
Now, I'm
calling my shot.
I do want to point out that Michael has not lost a Deucecast game thus far.
And I will not.
And all the negative shows and the show leading up to last week, we didn't play a game last week, but he is now 3-0 on our game.
I'm thinking that I've sort of shot myself in the foot here because I bet it's your mission to stump me, isn't it, Dave? It
could be. All right, let's play a game called Name That Crap, and here's the first song.
Got it.
Name That Crap.
Mr. Big.
Very good.
Uh-oh. I think I'm in trouble.
This is also the game where
where
Matt just kind of sits back and has no idea what's going on. So,
well, Rat was so quick, I knew that one too.
All right, let's play Name That Crap for the second song.
Michael.
Yes.
Hanson.
No.
Matt. Jonas Brothers.
Very good,
Matt.
Oh,
nice.
Very
one.
Good. Very good.
I didn't know you'd go that recent.
No, I had no. I would
SOS by the Jonas Brothers. And of course, I do want to mention that was To Be With You by Mr. Big, the Rhett
of
got
course.
A minute ago. Next up.
Turn that up, baby. Turn those lights down low.
And Red is straining. Either he's got to take a dump or he knows this.
I know it, but...
By the way, my wife knew 9 of these 10 songs.
Wow. Ten, we're not doing 10.
Well,
we're
gonna, probably won't do 10, but okay. You know, we got to get a winner again.
Can't place
thank
it.
God.
It's beautiful. It's heartbreaking.
I think we just need to call time on that one.
Michael?
Yes.
Kenny Rogers?
No, not quite. This is If Ever You're In My Arms Again... by Peebo Bryson.
Yeah. Oh, Peebo. You know, the chorus on this is actually pretty strong.
So it's not a terrible song.
What's that, Matt? You want to hear the whole thing?
I think Matt said he did want it. Okay, no, let's turn it off. Let's go to the next one.
Mercy
rule.
And one of these days, I will get technologically advanced enough to be able to start these songs in the middle instead of just at the very beginning.
No, this is actually builds up the anticipation.
It's more of a Name That Tune feel.
Oh.
1991. From the album Unison.
It's a great song, by the way.
It is a great song.
Michael?
Yes.
Sheena Easton?
No.
No.
I'm surprised that Red doesn't know this. I really thought he would get
this. I know all
these
songs,
are really tough. I know the song.
I just don't know
the artist.
Yeah, right.
This was her first song in the States ever.
In the United States?
In the United States. She had
really?
She had a lot of music in Canada.
Oh, Michael, Celine Dion.
Very good.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, see, where does my
heart
beat
the only reason
now?
I got that is because you kept giving me
hints. Once you got to that chorus there, I would have known it.
Next up. From the album, Monster Ballads.
So wait, they don't have their own album? Ba-dum-tsh.
1988, I believe.
Wow. 88. See, what was I doing in 88? Oh, no, I didn't.
My own wife said, yeah, when this song comes up, I skip it.
Oh, my God.
With reason.
This is painful, dude.
That guy's giving it the
business. Yeah, he is.
Matt,
that's coming from his loins.
This is not Winger. You would think it would be Winger, but it's not Winger.
Deep, deep, deep within his loins,
he's
pulling these notes.
Pulling it way up.
What's been happening?
I just want to get to the chorus because
it's
beautiful.
Let's go.
This is Don't Know What You Got Till It's Gone by Cinderella.
Oh, yes.
Obviously.
I liked
right,
Matt's
up.
Pick of Winger, though. Oh, jeez.
This should be easy. Maybe.
Michael?
Yes.
Patrick Swayze?
Close, but not quite. By the way, I do know this song by heart, every single word of it.
See, I don't know that it's Michael Hungry Eyes. Is
there you go.
Song.
Very
okay.
good. Yeah, Hungry Eyes.
I don't know the artist. It's some random guy.
So Michael's leading Rhett 3-1.
Who's the artist?
Eric Carmen.
Well, you don't have to do the artist. You can name the song.
Yeah, name the song or the
Either
artist.
These rules out, and we're in a booklet.
We do need we need some rules.
We a ref.
All right. This actually has two artists to it. It's a duet.
Oh, that's a good hint.
Then I won't get it.
I'm going to have to hear some lyrics.
Here we go. Here we go.
Okay. Well, here we are again. Okay.
Name that crap.
Michael.
Yes.
That's Peter Cetera.
Very good.
I do not know who he is doing the duet with.
Hold on. He's got one more line and then she'll jump in.
Okay.
If Rhett doesn't beat you to it, because I know he will.
No, I'm out.
you're out for that?
No, I'm out.
See, I got to hear the chick's
here
voice.
Here it comes. Here it comes.
Okay.
You can win with this.
Give it to me.
Winning.
See, I'm not as familiar
with crap.
With female artists.
With crap. Yeah, this song is pretty painful.
Is it Grace Jones?
Yeah,
this
for
is
real.
Not my cup of tea here.
Yeah, Peter Cetera and Cher.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
After all, from the Chances Are original soundtrack.
Yeah. Without auto-tune, Cher does not sound like herself.
All right, Michael's already leading 4-1.
Give me some turn back time.
I think that's a clear victory.
We're going to do one more, see if he gets it. We'll do one more. Okay, just because I love this game.
Oh, that's awesome.
Is
Separation.
New Kids on the Block?
Very good, Matt.
Booyah!
Yeah.
Very Matt's good. Coming back. We don't have to keep going.
No, we don't have to keep going.
Can, okay. can we stop it?
Michael is a clear winner in this game.
My favorite was the the white stuff.
Weird Al.
Weird Al.
Yeah, the Weird Al one.
That's amazing. That's
got it on my iPod.
I mean, Michael has dominated the last time we played these games. He's now leading 4-0 in all games played on the Deucecast. he won this game 4-1 in a clear blowout. Matt only got 1 point. Red only got 1 point.
It's because I know crappy music, dude.
Very good. Oh, I'm sorry. Is the New Kids of the Block still playing? My fault.
Thanks for fading out, Dave.
Absolutely.
What are we, Al-Qaeda? Why are you doing this to us?
I felt like I was being waterboarded there.
Absolutely. All righty. Well, we're going to go into a little segment that we like to call Rhett's Rants.
Ooh. No pressure, Rhett.
Now, look, that's okay. It's easy for me to rant. Now, I spend the majority of my life ranting about something. Just ask my wife. I just periodically go off ranting.
Now, how we're going to do this basically is I'm going to throw out a topic at Rhett and let him go crazy on it. Now, I've actually heard him talk about this topic before, so you might think it's a little unfair because he'll have some material already built up.
Let me set it up a little bit for you. I can rant about anything. I can rant about things that people love that are universally accepted as good, like puppies. People love puppies. I personally
don't get me started.
Hey, I don't care for scheduling my life around when something has to take a crap.
I do. Usually it's me.
Wait, don't you have a child?
Yeah, I have a child, but she's potty trained now, so it's not a problem. So, but anyway, yeah, go ahead, David.
Here's the topic that we have selected for Rhett's Rant tonight. Rhett, I'd like you to rant on your Sunday school classmates, co-workers, friends, stepfather's prayer request.
Let me tell you. All right. Sunday school prayer requests. It's not just prayer requests. It's at any time you get, you know, two or three or more together.
When two or three or more are gathered,
we're gonna have prayer time, and prayer time is important.
That rope is strong and complaining.
Interceding to, you know, on behalf of people through prayer to God
is
important.
It is.
What
is
not important? Amen.
What is less important to me, however, are the people who ask us to pray for their kids' best friend's uncle, who has a cousin. Who has a child with an ear infection. Okay, I don't care.
It's a deep ear infection,
funny,
though.
I don't know.
It's deep ear infection, Brett.
Don't care about that.
It'd be swimmer's ear, guys. Come on.
Had a guy. Look, I've heard a prayer request one time. Guy, he was well-to-do. He had him a nice house. He says, hey, I don't know if you've heard, but such and such neighborhood, they've zoned the land adjacent to our property, and they're going to build garden homes there. Can you guys please pray for our property? I said, oh, no, my friend. That does not. Hey, I'm going to hit a knee, but I ain't going to hit a knee about that. That's out. Sometimes it's best that if we can't have a personal connection to the person involved. Let's try not to go 6, 7, 8 degrees
us. Well, think of it too.
On our prayer request.
The Kevin Bacon of prayer requests.
Yeah, the list gets real long. Okay,
your Sunday school typical hour is like about an hour or so.
Right.
By the time it goes around the room and everybody has gone up with every person they have on their Facebook list that has a prayer request, you've got approximately 4 minutes for whoever's teaching to go. All right, I'm gonna try to feed y'all a little bit of word. Here's a verse out of Philippians. All right, amen.
Let me tell you what it does. It diminishes people with a legitimate prayer request, like, hey, I got diagnosed with cancer. That's a legitimate one.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Is it?
Oh, you know what? I've just been so tired lately. Can y'all pray that I'll have more energy? No, that guy's got cancer. Here's I'm going to spend my prayer time on the cancer.
Here's a 5-hour energy drink. Go take it.
Yeah. Knock yourself out, biggin.
Ladies and gentlemen, that has been
Rhett's Rants.
Rhett's Rants. Thank you very much.
On the internet for everyone to hear.
That's right. That's going to come back to haunt me.
Well, probably not until episode 27, Live Free Your Podcast Harder, when somebody comes back and listens to the early episodes and hears it going, did you hear what Rhett talked about prayer requests on Attack of the Clone podcasty things?
No, to be clear, Rhett's not my real name. That's just an alias.
Right. This is Rhett Marnett.
Exactly. Exactly. His actual name is Brad Latta, so... Just kidding, Brad. You're my dog. You're my dog. Bush Senseless Wars. That's right. All right.
Listen.
Let's move on over to a little bit of Deuce Roundtable, where Michael's going to give us some entertainment news. We're going to have we'll talk about some movies, and I'll give you my 2 cents worth as well.
Well, just to continue talking about Snooki, because I know Dave loves Snooki so much, she's going to have her own spinoff. Her and JWoww are going to have their own spinoffs on MTV.
I like the fact that JWoww has two W's at the end of her name.
I know, exactly. So the cultural degradation will continue on MTV as it should.
Yeah, her name has a palindrome in it.
At least it doesn't have an umlaut. That would be even worse. But
you don't even know what that is.
Yeah, it is. It's two little dots, Dave.
Ah, I gotcha.
The umlauts.
It's a lost colon.
Exactly, it is. And Matt, you've seen Black Dynamite, right?
No, I have not.
Oh, you know what it is, though, right?
I've seen Dolomite.
Well,
yeah, I know.
Okay,
what it
well, Black
is,
Dynamite's
yeah.
basically
Michael
J.
White, correct?
Yeah, yes. Michael J. White.
Spawn.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. And Tommy Davidson, blast from the past there. They are basically doing a blaxploitation film, but if you haven't seen Black Dynamite, you need to at least go rent it, check it out. It's really, really funny, but it's coming out with a couple spin-off type things. There's a comic book out there called Slave Island that's coming out, and then also Adult Swim just greenlit a new animated series. So Adult Swim, I trust their judgment. They usually don't put crap on their programming.
Their shows are usually pretty good.
Yeah, Children's Hospital is probably...
they're bizarre.
They're sometimes, very bizarre, yeah. But yeah, I mean...
sometimes only like 5 people will laugh at them, but somebody will laugh at it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And then we have to have the obligatory Superman news. We've got Michael Shannon as Zod.
I saw that.
Yeah.
I did see that.
I think
kind
it's
of...
a terrible choice.
What?
I like that idea.
Serious?
I like it.
Are you serious,
Have
Matt?
You guys... I mean, have you seen much stuff with him in it?
Yeah. I actually
he's
have.
He's really weird looking.
He's got a big square head.
Well,
yeah,
he does not look like normal. When I think of Zod, I think of somebody that's like articulate. You know what I mean? And
well,
like,
when you think of Zod, you think of Terrence Stamp
well, right.
Superman 2.
But
mean,
that's not necessarily
the
what he looked like in the comics.
No. Well, I'm willing to give it a shot. I think it's.
Well, I think that the reason Zack Snyder did that is because we're stuck with a British Superman, so we had to at least have an American for Zod. Whereas, you know, the Christopher Reeve ones, we had an American Superman and a British Zod, Terrence Stamp. Or
Son of Joel, kneel before Zod.
Yeah.
But what would be the best is if they had to have him do a British accent, even though he's American, and then have an American or a Brit do an American accent.
That would be great. And the last little piece of news here, just The Crow is being rebooted for the umpteenth time.
I did see that.
And they're talking actually to Bradley Cooper. I hope that does not happen, but it's going to be the original Eric Draven character that Brandon Lee so well, I guess posthumously
so
played,
deathfully put together.
Yeah, exactly. So that's my last piece
that
of
part. Nearby killed him.
Entertainment. Yes, it did.
So, of course, we want to bring up a little movie that we referred to earlier, and all three of us have seen this movie now. Rhett has not had a chance to enjoy the pleasure of this film, but we do want to briefly talk about it. And that movie, of course, is Nick Cage's brilliant film, Drive Angry in 3D. And you have to know this movie is obviously made for 3D, because when you see it, all the 3D stuff comes
actually,
at you, the blur squirts and things like that.
You know what?
I mean,
I'm going to disagree with you, Dave. I think that the movie is intended to be seen in 2D, in a reel-to-reel cinema with really bad sound, so you get that grindhouse experience.
Which means we saw that because we both went to the Buck
Theater.
Exactly.
I think that's the way that Nick Cage would have wanted us to see it, in a grindhouse-type experience.
Well, let me bring the audience up to speed on this, and Rhett, you can kind of follow along here, too.
Sure.
It's the story of Milton, which is an obvious reference to John Milton, Paradise Lost, and just like his friend in the movie Webster, which is in a reference to the devil and, Milton escapes hell. And he's out to save his granddaughter. And by the way, you never hear him referred to as a grandfather. You never hear the baby referred to as the granddaughter. They never say that because I guess that implies that he's old. But it's the daughter's baby. And so the daughter was involved in this religious sect and was killed. And now the baby is to be used in a sacrifice, as a sacrifice in some sort of crazy ritual to bring hell to earth. Seriously.
Standard.
That's it. Yeah.
Always
now,
need a baby for that.
Now, of course, you're thinking, you know, oh my gosh, that's a anti-whatever movie. It's really not so far into the satanic ritual, whatever movie, as it is Nick Cage running around with bad hair, shooting people with big guns. You know, it's...
plus, it's fiction.
Yes,
so,
it is fiction as well.
So get over it,
it
people.
Is fiction as well, but... But Michael, of course, liked this movie. So I'm going to give
I loved it. I didn't just like it.
I'm going to give Michael the first up here, telling us what he liked about this movie. We're going to talk about this for a second.
Well, I mean, Nick Cage wanted you to see what he let you see. I mean, he was subtle when he needed to be subtle. He was over the top when he needed to be over the top. It was a great performance all around because that's what Nick Cage wanted you to see. He's brilliant.
So I have a problem here because I think you were too wrapped up into Nick Cage.
No.
And not this movie.
I actually
Whereas, what else is there to this movie besides Nick Cage?
Right. Well, I actually went into this movie sort of upset about Nick Cage's green lighting everything, just taking every single role. But now I get him more. I understand him more after seeing this movie. He wanted to make a grindhouse picture.
And see, I don't think this comes across as a grindhouse film. Or I don't think it pulls off. I don't think it pulls off the grindhouse effect. I just don't think it does.
I don't think you're
judging the term grindhouse effect the same as Michael and I are.
Right. When I say grindhouse, the main I mean the scene in the hotel room, we don't need to describe
right,
it.
Right.
That
right.
is completely
well,
grindhouse.
Here's what I'm comparing it to. Okay. You got Planet Terror, which is my favorite of the grindhouse movies from Tarantino and Rodriguez.
Right.
And you've got Machete. Okay. I think both of those are obvious grindhouse films because, number one, they're very tongue-in-cheek. Okay.
Right.
They're very funny. They're very over the top. I mean, completely over the top. They're silly. They're very amusing. They don't take themselves too seriously. They're not trying to be anything other than that grindhouse feel, like you're talking about. I mean, bad cinematography, bad lighting, bad acting. The scenes are
Machete
scenes
has
nuts,
excellent
you know?
Action.
But the most to me, what sets these two films apart from Drive Angry is that these films are entertaining. I think that Drive Angry actually really wanted to be more than a grindhouse film. I think it wanted to be a good action movie, and it couldn't pull it off.
David, I've got one rebuttal to that, guys. Okay, here's my rebuttal, and this is a slight spoiler alert, guys.
Okay.
Not a total spoiler alert, slight spoiler alert. It's like the next 15 seconds. Any movie that has the line, "I don't want to drink beer unless I'm drinking it from Jonah King's skull," and then at the end of the movie, he actually drinks beer out of this guy's exploded skull and then puts it in his jacket to take it and obviously drink beer out of it later. That is grindhouse.
Yeah, well, I will say two things about this movie I did like. Number one, I will say I am going to give it another shot. It's not one of those I'm going to discount completely. There are two movies that came to mind, which are completely different movies, but Adventureland and Ocean's 12, that when I saw them both, I hated them. I hated them for what they were. The more times I saw them, the more I liked them.
Yeah. So, Adventureland got better?
Adventureland got better to me.
Really?
Because my expectations for it changed.
I've not seen this Drive Angry movie, obviously. Let me tell you what some of the scenes remind me of a little bit, and you guys tell me if I'm on the track here.
Yeah.
Shoot 'em Up.
I thought Shoot 'Em Up was a much better film.
Really?
I thought Shoot 'Em Up was a better film because I thought it... I'm very into what their intentions are. Shoot 'Em Up was exactly what it was supposed to be.
Yeah.
They didn't want to do anything other than shoot guns and blow people up.
Right,
and they did
it
in an amusing, cool fashion.
Okay, can I interject here?
Please.
Okay. To me, grindhouse films, one of my best friends and I, growing up, my best buddy Joel Alsop, back in the day, high school, we used to get together, go to Blockbuster, and just rent the worst, you know, I would literally refer to them as grindhouse movies. Almost always had supernatural stuff to them. Almost always, you know, the horror movies, they had just really, really, really ridiculous, like satanic plots. That to me is why this succeeds where Shoot 'Em Up was like a legit action movie. This is a ridiculous supernatural.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I misunderstood the question. I didn't think Shoot 'Em Up was necessarily a grindhouse film. I just enjoyed Shoot 'Em Up better for what
it was. I don't either. Right. It's an action movie. It's a tongue-in-cheek action movie.
But the other thing I wanted to bring up about this movie that I did like, and this is what to me really made this movie, was character actor William Fichter.
Oh, yeah. He's brilliant.
We love him.
He's fantastic. Yeah. And if you don't know who this guy is, if you saw the movie Date Night that came out last year with Tina Fey and Steve Carell, he's the district attorney that gets in trouble at the end. He is the Amway salesman in Go, which is
that's one
fantastic.
Of my favorite roles of his. Yeah.
He is the one of the marshals or one of the corporals or whatever in Armageddon.
Yep.
He's in Heat.
Oh, he was great in Prison Break. We loved him in Prison Break.
Prison Break. He was in Invasion a couple of years ago. He is a solid actor that I don't think a lot of people really pay attention to.
The Dark Knight.
Dark Knight.
Oh, yes.
Great role in
I mean, we could go through a long list of films he's been in.
Yeah, we love him. We love him in my house.
Yeah. So that definitely made the movie. And his character in this movie was hilarious and really worth the dollar for you to go see this movie. I mean, seriously. Yeah.
Or $3 in Chattanooga, wherever you live.
There you go.
Yeah.
So, Matt, hey, you had a couple of reviews you wanted us to hear you talk about.
Yeah, actually, I had – it's not reviews, actually. It's sorry, I'm pulling up my notebook here. I actually been watching a lot of Netflix, and I've got – I figured this week that I'd do my top five Netflix instant view picks of the week.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So, Stephanie and I watching a lot of movies at night. She's pregnant. She can't get out and do that much. So, we end up, you know, pulling up some random movies. First off, this little movie from 1988. And this movie is called Short Circuit.
Oh, Johnny Five is Alive.
Classic, yes. Steve Guttenberg film. Also, a surprisingly offensive turn by Fisher Stevens as an Indian computer technology
guy. I'll be honest with you. When I saw him in another movie and he wasn't Indian, it threw me off.
Yeah.
Like when I was
really
a kid.
Unrecognizable,
it's a good, good character.
He was in Lost, and I was like, wait a minute. That's the guy from Short Circuit.
Yeah, exactly.
And he changed his accent.
Yeah, he was in some show called like Key West or something like that, too. But anyway. Anyway, second movie. Hot Shots Part 2.
Yes.
It is in HD.
The mother
of all
sequels.
It is Charlie Sheen at his best.
I bet that's being watched a lot lately.
Probably.
Probably remastered for Blu-ray consumption.
It is absolute classic, though. I love it. He plays Lieutenant Topper Harley. The description refers to him as ham-fisted Lieutenant Topper Harley. It's awesome. It's got the classic Rambo, you know, storyline. The first one had the Top Gun storyline spoof, so it's really good.
Wasn't John Cryer in that movie?
Oh, yeah. He was cross-eyed.
That's right.
Ryan Stiles was
no, he was only in the first movie.
Okay.
Oh, he wasn't in the second one. Okay.
Sorry, I was making the two men connection.
I love that entire genre of movie, all the way from Kentucky Fried Movie through Top Secret.
Abrams and Zucker.
Top Secret. Oh, my gosh.
Naked Gun, all of that stuff.
Okay.
Continue.
So, number three. Batman 1989. It is available in HD. Uh-oh. And
it's good stuff.
It is absolutely classic.
Yeah, Keaton. He's good.
Yes.
I'm Batman.
anyway, moving on. Got two more. I randomly ran upon this one. I'd read some stuff about this guy, Gareth Edwards. And he's got a movie. I think it's just coming out in Blu-ray. But it's a very, very, very low-budget movie called Monsters.
Oh, yeah. I've read about it.
Yeah, it's. Let me read you the description about it. And there's one person that's in it that the name is awesome. It's just worth it for that. But this is the movie description. It says, 6 years after aliens invaded Earth, a security force maintains tenuous control in the infected zone, quote unquote.
The infected zone.
Yeah.
Straddling. I had that last week. I had to get some lotion.
Border. Andrew, played by Scoot McNairy. He's a photographer, and he's documenting this war-torn area when he's interrupted by an unexpected rescue mission. So he basically has to take, like, his media mogul boss's daughter and escort her through the infected zone. It's very low budget, but it's a very high photography quality to the movie. It's very stylishly shot. It's one of these, like, things where the dude, you know, shot it and did all the effects like on his laptop, basically. So, you know, it's give and take. It's
kinda
not
like Drive Angry.
It's pretty cool, you know. It's not as good as Drive Angry.
No, nowhere near as good as Drive Angry.
But it's also all the movies that I've already mentioned so far available in HD, and they're all really high quality.
Sweet.
The last one is not available in HD, but it is an absolute classic. The Weird Al Yankovic classic UHF.
Oh, nice.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
it is available, and it is awesome. I can't
no
say anymore about it.
Yeah. The and Twinkie
now,
hot dog is my favorite part.
Now, we're teaching poodles how to fly. Boom. Oh, man.
Spatula City.
This movie has always held a close place to my heart. I remember one of my good buddies, Kenny Hammontree, took all of his buddies to go see this for his birthday 1 year. And it was pretty much the coolest birthday party ever.
That is a great movie that I think a lot of people that are younger than us now don't know exists.
Yeah, yeah.
You
People like 20 and under, they just don't get it. And I don't know if they would get it if they watched it. I don't think.
You'd have to know, you know, Weird Al, really.
It's a great. It's a classic film. It gets better.
It's absolutely awesome
with a non-racist Michael Richards, which is nice.
It was basically Michael Richards.
Yeah, yeah.
Who's gonna drink from the fire hose? Wonderful. All right, well, that's your Netflix roundup. Very cool. We're going to go to a little something called Buried Treasures, and this is where I like to bring up a movie from the past that maybe you have forgotten about, and I want to kind of bring it up. And I know we've talked a lot about movies on this particular show, but I want to take you back to the early 80s when Eddie Murphy was a rising star. He had just starred in 48 Hours, and in 1984, he did a little movie called Beverly Hills Cop. And if you've ever seen this movie, it's a good film, and unlike many sequels, Beverly Hills Cop 2 is not all that great. He had some other hits like Coming to America, Golden Child, Trading Places, one of my favorite films. But in 1984, Eddie came back for one more turn as Axel Foley in Beverly Hills Cop 3. Now, let's be clear. This movie is not nearly as good as the first one. Beverly Hills Cop is a much better film. All three of these movies have been on cable in the last several weeks, so I've been able to watch them over and over and over. I've seen all three of them in successive days. And I got to tell you, Beverly Hills Cop 3 is a forgotten treasure. It is a buried treasure that I think that...
I don't really remember. I remember, like, carnival scenes.
Yes,
vaguely.
That's the one where it took place in, like, Wonder World or whatever.
Yeah.
And so Judge Reinhold was back. For some reason, Ashcroft was not back. Not John Ashcroft, but whatever. John Ashton.
Something like
that. I don't know what he was doing, but he wasn't in the film. A very young Hector Elizondo, which is one of Mike's favorite actors, was in the movie as well.
I like him, I guess.
Great film. I mean, it really is. It's a great film. And
you know what? If the movie's not good, the song is just classic.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. Well, didn't they redo the song?
Yeah, they
though?
Basically just did a version of the song for all
three. Right.
More now, Harold Faltermeyer, that's what I say.
Exactly. Well, Harold Faltermeyer, he's the one that did this. Yes. Which is great for Rhett that he remembered. Very nice. The second one was the one with Brigitte Nielsen in it. And that's where they're doing the alphabet robberies or whatever, and it's pretty lame. But
yeah.
Beverly Hills Cop 3.
She was frightening on The Surreal Life, by the way.
She was frightening anything having to do with Flavor of Love.
Yeah,
Flavor
exactly.
Flav.
I
saw the Flavor Flav comedy roast, and she's in it, and she's a terrible comedian, and she looks absolutely terrible. So, anyway, that's my buried treasure of the week, Beverly Hills Cop 3. Check it out if you haven't seen it recently.
And when you say buried treasure, you mean you're going to bury it and never mention it again, right?
Toad the Wet Sprocket.
Okay.
So now it's time for This Week in Deuce History. This is where we look back to the Deuce history and we look back at the fond memories that was the Deuce.
As we should.
The Deuce Weekly was a weekly e-newsletter that appeared in January of 2001 and ran through March 2003. And at its apex, had over 140 people on the subscription list finding out what was going on in the world of the Deuce. Parties and fellowships and stuff at Common Ground, which is our church group, and all the stuff at the Valladolid Church. When it premiered, there was a ton of good feedback, and it kept growing and growing. And seven issues in, sent out on in April of 2001, the most popular segment of the Deuce Weekly premiered, the top 10 list.
Yes.
So now I'm going to give you the very first top 10 Deuce Weekly list.
Excellent.
The title was Top 10 Signs You've Eaten Too Much at the Nips House on Sunday.
Oh, right on.
Number 10, Ken and Lynn Nip start stacking sandbags around you. Number 9, you read your weight would be perfect for your body size if you were 15 feet 7 inches tall. Number 8, you fall down in the kitchen and suddenly an earthquake in Yemen claims 700 lives. Or Japan. Number 7,
too soon.
Michael looks at you and says, dude, you're fat. Number 6.
Yeah, that would be surprising.
You decide to take a nap in April and you wake up around Labor Day. Number 5. You bear a striking resemblance to Meatloaf from the hit motion picture Black Dog.
Topical.
Number 4. Michael's woman Ashley looks at you and says, "Oh my gosh, you eat a lot." Number 3. The Inverness Fire Department had called to get your dumpy butt off the couch. Number 2. Tiny Amy McLeod, Voss, whatever, begins to orbit around you due to your gravitational pull. And number 1, sign that you've eaten too much at the Dips House, you're sweating gravy. And
yeah!
That's this week's In Deuce History.
Awesome!
That's the close of our show. Remember, go to deucecast.com, thedeucecast.com. Give us a call to 626- 9386 or 6269 fun.
That's area code 205.
That's
by
area
the way.
Code 205. Find us on Twitter at The Deucecast or on Facebook at The Deucecast Studios. My own personal website, broadwaydave.blogspot.com. Hope you've got a pen and are writing all this stuff down. I am Dave, and thank you very much to Rhett for joining us here this week.
I appreciate the invite. Thank you.
Of course. Thank you to Tommy for being our production manager over there pushing buttons wherever he might be. And don't forget Matt up at the Noog. Matt, say bye, Matt.
Ahoy, hoy.
And I'm
Dave. I'm Mike, and you've just taken your weekly deuce.